How many games allow you to play as a bartender, and how many games were sponsored by Anheuser-Busch with Budweiser advertising included throughout? This is the game we're talking about today on the podcast. It's Tapper on It's So Bad. Welcome. We have two new guests. One old guest, I guess, who was on one of the first episodes, but
it's been a while.
What are you going to do? It's Tim's here.
Hello, Tim. Hello. How's it going?
How are you doing?
Fantastic. How are you?
It's Sunday. We're recording this. This will come out on a Tuesday though. So what have you been doing with your life?
Just playing a lot of Apex. Starting to get into Spider-Man.
Yeah,
I've only put about an hour into that game.
Spider-Man versus the Sinister Stick 6 versus the Nintendo Entertainment System.
I'm sorry, what did you just say?
Spider-Man versus the Sinister Six for the Nintendo Entertainment System.
Oh, no, the new Spider-Man.
Maximum Carnage for Super Nintendo.
Oh, no, the newer one.
Spider-Man for the PlayStation?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, the newer one.
Okay.
The
Spider-Man 2 for GameCube.
Newer still.
Okay.
Well, I would like to play that one.
What I'm trying to think of. So, Marvel's Spider-Man from PlayStation 4?
Marvel's Spider-Man.
Developed by Insomniac, who I believe made Ratchet & Clank as well.
Ooh.
Yes.
It was a good game.
Yeah, it was a good game. Cool. And we also have Joe here visiting us from the lovely state of Wisconsin.
Hello there.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well.
Yeah?
Yeah, doing real good.
Yeah, doing well in Wisconsin.
Well, yeah, doing well in Wisconsin. It's very cold.
I hear from my father-in-law that it's cold every time I talk to him.
Dangerously cold for a while. Well, yeah. And now I'm here with no responsibilities. Great.
And then you come on this horrible day here.
Yeah, we've had some shit weather.
This is the thing. If I can talk weather for a second,
you're from Wisconsin, so yeah. I feel like all people from Wisconsin just constantly remind everybody how snowy and cold and miserable it is there.
But I actually prefer not being able to go outside for fear of getting harmed physically, as opposed to this raining on top of the snow.
You mean because your crime rate
within the same day
so bad?
Yeah.
So what have you been playing recently? You always play a diverse array of video games compared to people that I talk with.
I've been playing
typically the AAA blockbusters. So tell me about it.
I've been playing
some video games.
Dead Cells.
Okay.
I've been playing a lot of Guacamelee 2 just recently.
Did you play the first one?
Yeah.
I haven't played it, but I've heard it's
good. It's really good.
Second one, hold up.
Yeah, yep. Second one is really good, too. It's hard. You have to, it's very intense in the mechanics, so you have to, really kind of get good at them in order to advance, which is nice. It's like Hollow Knight or, Ori and the Blind Forest, which I also have been playing, ways.
That's supposed to come out. They've been talking that it's rumored to come out on the Switch.
Yeah.
And I bought it for,
Ori?
Yeah.
And that's good.
It's a Microsoft game.
Yeah.
Which makes it super interesting that it's rumored to come out on the Switch, because I guess they have a relationship now.
Oh, cool.
But I bought it for on Steam, and it was, when it was, $4.
I dabbled.
I'm like, do I want to wait and play it on a mobile device?
I dabbled with it for a while, but it was before I had a controller, and I was playing on, the keyboard, and it just was not working.
Yeah.
So I kind of put the game down.
That one has to have a controller.
Yeah, I want to go back to it for
Same
that.
Thing with Guacamelee. You need a controller. It's set up for that, and it is really kind of demanding on how you're going to execute it, so you have to do it. But, yeah, we're doing that, and then also been teasing Dead Cells, but I haven't really...
Been tickling it a little bit.
Or not Dead Cells. Dark Souls.
Dark Souls. I also have been tickling Dark Souls a little bit.
I feel like that's the only way you can play it, is if you just kind of get in there once in a while and then away.
I can't play it for a while. I play it for 5 hours maybe
in a row.
You
gotta put that game down.
Yeah.
And then you just after a while, you just feel like you're pounding your head against a wall.
Yeah.
It's like you're pounding your head against a brick wall until the brick wall breaks.
Yeah.
And then you get through it. I'm not very far into it. I'm on the, I bought it for, it was on sale on Amazon for like $30, the Switch version.
Awesome.
So I bought it like a while ago, and I'm on the lower depths of the Burg.
Okay.
I forget. It's like they have the boss has two dogs, and it's a boss, and it makes it incredibly difficult.
I've started that game over like 4 times at this point because I kind of just want to get into it. But then each time I start to get into it, I think, oh shit, this is more than I can handle as far as time commitment right now. Right. So I have to switch to something a little bit less intense.
Last time we spent a good couple hours playing Ex Machina. Too, which is a good top-down shooter, which is real fun.
I saw you guys playing on Discord.
Yeah, fast-paced top-down shooter.
Yeah,
Save the humans.
I've heard that's very good and very, like, arcadey.
Yeah, it's got great music, too.
It's very Smash TV in a way.
And it's two twin-stick shooters, what they call them.
And it's fun. It's really good.
Cool.
I have a... so I've been playing a lot of games for this podcast, just trying to burn through them so I have, like, a good queue of stuff to get into. Because I think in 2 weeks we're going to do another podcast on a specific topic that I'm not going to talk about.
Oh, okay.
But I beat that game. I'm trying to think of what other games I can talk about. I started playing some Crazy Taxi for this podcast.
Oh, cool.
So that's been fun. Just a lot of Apex, of course.
What are you playing Crazy Taxi on?
Dreamcast? PS2, actually.
All
right. I have a PS2 copy. They put that game out on everything.
Yeah.
They put it out on...
I mean, if it was on Dreamcast, I think it was on anything.
It's on iOS. It's on Android.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's on like literally everything. You can get it on PS4.
They have apps? Those Crazy Taxi apps?
Yes.
Yeah, that game is so old. How is there an app for it?
Well, they've remade it. And,
right.
Sega's
crazy.
Remade it. What else? Then they have one of those Time Waster game. That's a Crazy Taxi game. That they made, like, it's like you put it on the background and it like you like set up your cabs to make money,
like a real time strategy,
like a SimCity sort of thing.
Yeah, but like a simulator that's like, I don't know what they call them, time wasting games or something like that.
Like a Clash of Clans style, when you gotta wait like 4 days to build your wall.
Yeah, like that style game, and I guess it's semi popular.
Clash of Clans. I remember when we had a
clan. Yeah, we got deep in that.
We had a clan.
What was our clan name?
Clash Clan.
It was the Randy Savages.
Yeah, that's right.
And when we got to the point where it took
money,
so much time to
get enough
money to build one section of wall that it would take weeks to build section of wall.
Unless you're spending money, you just hit a wall in that game, and like, there's no, you can't get past it.
Yeah,
you got to drop the top players of that game. I think were dropping like hundreds of thousands of dollars annually.
I've talked about this before, but we all should, in like the group that we had the Clash Clans stuff with, should start a game of Subterfuge, which is a free game.
Oh, I haven't seen that one.
To play, and you can download it for your phone.
Cool.
But it takes time, and it's about using fleets to invade bases in this grand strategy type thing and build, gather resources and build submarines.
Rating other players,
but you play with a group of friends, so you have like 8 players, and you all play together.
Oh, okay.
It takes like a set amount of time for a submarine to move to a different harbor. So if you have a guy who's invading you, and you don't have like a submarine there to stop them,
was that like a clan war in Clash of Clans?
Yes, sort of. But like it takes like hours for you to move guys.
Like text your friends and tell them like, head in here.
Or be like, hey, do you want to gang up against this person and send all of our ships? Because they can't see what you're doing.
That would be a fun thing to do.
Yeah.
It's like slow enough that you can just a day do a few
things. And if you spend like a lot of time in it, I guess you can get more out of it. But at the same time, if you don't want to put time into it, then you don't have to. It's called Subterfuge. So
all right,
we should maybe do that. But let's get into the game of the week. So first off, I just want to say, if you haven't already, you can follow this podcast on iTunes, Google Play. We're on Twitter, It's So Bad, at It's So Bad Pod. You can also send us emails at itssobadpod@gmail.com. We're up on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, all those great places for you to find us. But just to begin with, since you guys haven't been here, actually, neither of you have added a game. Well, you haven't, Joe, haven't been here on the podcast, but Tim, you haven't added a game to our endless list of video games.
No, that started after I was on the
episode. To kind of introduce this game that we're adding, Tapper, is a game from 1983 developed by Marvin Glass and Associates, published by Bally Midway. It's the earliest game that will be added to our list, and what our list is a list of video games that is never ending. We add a new game to our list every week or every 2 weeks whenever we do a podcast. And we judge these games on a couple factors. So kind of how well we like the game, the gameplay, if it's good, if we judge the gameplay to be good, how influential the game was. So were there games that copied it in the future? Is it well known? Is it popular? Did it sell well? And does it hold up? So is it still something that you can play today and get enjoyment out of? And right now we have 25 games on our list, going from The Legend of Zelda all the way down to pro wrestling for the Sega Master System at the very bottom of the list. And we add every game to this list. It's not just about the best games or the worst games. This is the endless list of video games. It will continue on ad infinitum. Is that how you say it? Ad infinitum?
That's close.
Yeah, I'm close. but yes, so Tapper. I think we all first experienced this game at the same time, probably.
Fun Spot.
Likely, yeah.
Fun Spot.
Yeah, Fun Spot, yeah.
There's this magic, for people out there who don't know, there's this magical place in New Hampshire, which is weird to say that there's any magic in New Hampshire, as somebody who's from Massachusetts, and to people who are listening from New Hampshire, I love you, but you gotta admit it's New Hampshire. It's not quite the armpit of Massachusetts, that's Rhode Island.
Yeah.
Now we're just gonna talk shit about all the states, but literally, Rhode Island, cool. If you look at a map, Rhode Island is underneath the arm of Massachusetts, which is Cape Cod. It's right literally in the armpit of Massachusetts.
Yeah. So a dig, but also you can hide behind the geography and say...
Hell yeah, it's just an armpit. New Hampshire's up there... New Hampshire's up there sitting on the shoulder. They're kind of like the devil figure that sits on Massachusetts' shoulder, while Vermont is the angel figure
that sits
on the shoulder.
That makes sense.
So this is my headcanon for the states of New England. I don't want to talk about Maine and Connecticut, because Connecticut's not really New
England. New York.
New York, come on. But yes, up in the magical land of New Hampshire, there's an arcade called Fun Spot, and they have a lot of 80s games.
It's a magical place.
They have Fun Spot.
$20 will carry you all day there.
Supposedly one of the largest arcades in the world. I think they were at one point. I think there's a place in Chicago called Gallop and Ghost that might be bigger now.
Also, there's no way somewhere in Japan doesn't have this massive complex of just giant arcades.
Well, that's the thing,
arcades.
Too. So this is an aside, but related. I first went to a casino. I went to Connecticut, Foxwoods and Mohegan Sun, and I went there for those. We're talking about New England. Then I went out to Vegas, and I didn't realize that the casinos in Vegas are much smaller than Foxwoods and Mohegan Sun by floor area. And I think the same situation applies with Japan, although I don't know.
Maybe.
Because they don't have the floor space to have these big areas.
Fair enough.
Galloping Ghost, I've heard, next time I go out to the Midwest, which I do...
That Chicago, you said?
Yeah. It's supposedly a really big arcade.
That would make sense. I did go to arcades in Japan when I went there to visit my sister one time, and they have a lot of two-story or three-story arcades, but they're not giant. And I think for that reason, they're competing with a lot of other arcades.
Right. I think it's just expensive.
It's expensive. Mm. And real estate,
obviously.
Everyone's
crammed in there anyway, per square foot.
So, I think it would be easy in the U.S. to just take the largest... You make the largest arcade possible.
Right.
Here as opposed to somewhere else.
So we ran across Tapper there. They also have Timber up there. I don't think they have Mr. Domino.
I've never seen Mr. Domino ever.
Marvin Glass and Associates, which is a terrible name for a game developer. I guess they also made...
Sounds like a firm, like a law firm.
Were you in a fender bender?
Yeah.
So Marvin Glass and Associates developed these games, Mr. Domino, Timber, and Tapper. And they also made Simon.
The Four Colors?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
So they're very wealthy.
Yeah, I guess. They
must be.
But they license out all these games. They do all the developing and whatever. They don't exist anymore, I do not believe.
I doubt it.
Yes.
I mean, if that's their whole list of,
No, there's a ton of there's a ton of board games and games that are quasi like Simon.
Really?
Yeah, but the only video games I believe were Mr. Domino, Domino.
Do you know what board games they developed?
No, I didn't recognize
any.
I'll have to look it up. Yeah. So, as I said in the intro, this is a game that allows you to play as a bartender or a soda jerk if you
depending on the version.
Yes.
If you're in a bar or an arcade, it'll kind of decide which one you play.
So Joe, what do you like about this game?
I like, so the gameplay is pretty fast paced and it's super simple. The controls are literally a tap and a joystick that only moves, you know, four directions.
I would say too, just to point it out, the joystick is a tap.
That's one of my favorite things about the cabinet. And that's what, like, kind of pops out at you.
Yeah.
You don't see a little normal joystick. You see the tap.
That is the attractive point to it, is you're like, all right, how does this mechanic work? This looks fun.
Yeah. Try that out. Just to point it out, too, the arcade cabinet has a, which you never see on arcade cabinets typically, unless they're installed on the side, is the cup holder.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you can put a...
And the brass bar for you to put your foot on as if you're, like, sitting at a bar.
It's very 70s style. It is.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Yeah,
it's this game was made in 1983, and this game is very, very, like the from the aesthetic to the font, even.
Yeah.
It's very, very 70s.
It was retro in 1983.
Right. So.
So think about that.
So what else do you like about this game?
Quick pace. So it's a good pace, and it's difficult, but it's also not insurmountable as some arcade classics are, where you just feel like you're throwing quarter after quarter in and not getting anywhere.
It's a quick learning curve, so yeah.
Yeah, you can actually become pretty good at it somewhat quickly, but then it does get hard enough that you... I've never been to the last stage on it.
Yeah.
And there recently are really tried to do that.
There's only four, right?
Four stages. The Western bar is where you start, which is two screens. The sports bar, which is a sports bar, and it's more of like a stadium because it's like outside where you can see the blimp, the Budweiser blimp in the background. It's three screens, and then you have a punk rock bar for four screens, and then you have an outer space bar with aliens.
Yeah, I've never seen that one.
I've never seen
pictures.
Either, but I can get to the punk bar.
I've only seen the other levels because you guys have beat them. Like, I barely get out of the first, like, the Western bar.
it's cool. I greatly enjoy this game. It's quick.
Yeah.
It's addictive.
Yeah.
Because how fast it is, you just want to keep playing more and just doing that a little bit better. It's not like you die and then you're like, I can't deal with this anymore. Like Dark Souls, we were just talking about how you have to shut it off. Like, you have to step away.
Yeah. And I don't think we discussed the actual mechanics. Is you're pouring beers and you're sending them down a line to service customers who keep appearing out of nowhere in this really poorly shaped and designed bar.
Yeah, I get angry at who built this bar, especially the punk one.
This poor bartender.
I think every level is four different levels of bars that you have to keep feeding the clientele with beer. And they keep coming, and you don't know if they're going to stop and just drink the beer or go away or what's going to happen. But, yeah, it's good. They leave tips sometimes.
Yeah. So I guess
even the punks,
you got to give them a beer before they reach the end of the bar, because if they reach the end, they'll grab you
and toss you down.
I think that's my favorite animation of the game.
And then if they finish the beer while they're standing there, they'll send the glass your way and you have to collect the glass before it hits the ground. And then they also leave tips. And if you don't get to the tip in time, it disappears. But it's also the highest points you can get in the game.
Yeah. And you said it was 1,500 points.
1,500. Yeah. Yeah.
But then if you get the tip too, the girls come out and shake their can
cans. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
No, slow distracts. Things down to help you catch up.
Right. Yeah, and can also mess you up too, because some of the patrons will look at the dancers and not catch the beers that you're sending down their way, which is too bad.
That is. But yeah, that's a fun little dynamic too. Mm-hmm. It's like it kind of buys you some time, but kind of makes it a little more difficult.
You know, one thing I didn't mention, too, that I kind of want to go back to, about Marvin Glass & Associates, I didn't show you guys this, and I meant to show it to you. They made a game about, I don't even know if it was for, or they just asked them. They made Journey, the video game, for the band Journey.
No.
What?
Yes.
What is the goal?
Yeah.
It's really weird. It is very, very strange to look at. It's like you play as a head of band member, and it's like... not semi-animated head of a band.
What?
Like NBA Jam, kind of?
Yeah, almost. Okay. Yeah.
And there's a Michael Jackson one, too.
Like Moonwalker. That's a good one, too.
You turn into a robot in that game.
Yeah, you do. You just, like, moonwalk
and your special move is you get everyone to dance with you, and then they all explode.
You can, like, throw your hat and then, like, moonwalk away.
Yeah.
And you have to get Bubbles the Chimp. And why are we talking about Michael Jackson?
Hey.
You can't see me do this, but I'm tugging on my collar right now.
Solid radio. That's solid radio.
You go like this. People know what I'm doing when I do that. But yes. Yeah, they made a Journey game. I thought that was interesting. And I don't think even the songs are in it. If they are, they're really poor renditions of the songs.
When was right, it wasn't made? Licensed, right?
It was. It was a Journey game. It has their heads.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it was like 84 or 85.
Okay.
But yeah, so they made a Journey video game.
I would love to just see that.
I would also.
But yeah, so a couple other things about Tapper in Japan. This is known as, it has a Suntory instead of Budweiser because of the Japanese market.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if they paid Budweiser or if Budweiser paid them. I'm assuming Budweiser paid them.
Yeah, because they came up with the game and then they test marketed it in bars. And then Budweiser mm-hmm. said, put our taps on this machine. And I think that's how they got their license on there.
Yeah, so they probably made a lot of money with this game.
Yeah, and then after that's crazy. That, I think it's when Bally picked it up just to port it to everything you could possibly port it to.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, these guys are based out of Chicago.
Close to me.
Close to lovely Wisconsin. The world record is honed by Lauren Featherstone as of 2017. Just to put it into perspective, we were dicking around with it. I think we got pretty far. What did you get? 36,000 was your high?
Yeah, I think about 36. We got to the second last punk bar stage, which is about as far as I've ever gotten in the game. It starts to really pick up in difficulty at that point, and that is only 36,000.
Yeah, so the world record holder has 14 million.
Yeah.
14,600,000 is the
amount of points she got. So there's no, like, kill screen on this, right? Like, they just, once you get to the last level, you just keep going?
I think it wraps around, yeah.
I'm sure there is a kill screen. I don't think people have gotten to it yet.
Really?
Because of why there's a kill screen is because of memory limitations.
Right, yeah.
So I'm sure there is a kill screen, but I don't think anybody's gotten to it.
No shit. That's crazy.
Because this game is still from 1983, so there's very limited amount of memory.
And it's so simple that I don't know how many hours it would take to fill the entire memory of that game.
Yeah, do you know how long it took her to get, 17 million, 14?
14 million. No, it's got to take a long time.
Right?
Because when you do a round, say we got 36,000, how long would you be playing? For like 5 or 6 minutes?
At least.
So let's do the math on that.
Yeah.
So let's say it's
more like 10 minutes of play gets you to the end of the punk stage.
Yeah, so 10 minutes is 50,000, say. So you're looking at 20. It's not that bad. It's a couple hours.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so maybe like 6 or 7 hours.
Yeah, but it starts to get real hectic over
time.
That's
pretty bad, actually.
Because if you clear the stage immediately, that's one thing. But the longer you spend in a stage, the more people show up out of nowhere, the more glasses you have coming down the bar.
Yeah.
You have to be jumping constantly from bar to bar, and it becomes far, far more difficult. You can lose in the first stage if you spend time there. Or you can zip through to the end of the third stage.
Our little session before, I'm pretty sure I did.
This has to be one of my favorite games from the time period. Definitely, I don't like Donkey Kong as much as I like this game, for example. Because this game, it's like highly addictive.
It's very simple, and they knew what was fun about it, and they really pushed that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I really like the animations. We didn't mention there's a bonus stage where you shake up the can and you can open it, and it says this bud's for you if you're playing on the Budweiser one, or it says this one's for you if you're playing Root Beer Tapper.
Yeah,
which is funny. But yeah, very addictive. They got a loop down that you just want to keep going and putting in those quarters, which is very nice
for sure.
So, we have our endless list of video games. It's on the floor right now. We have a big whiteboard of all these different games. Again, we're judging this by gameplay, if it holds up, what its importance was, kind of if we like it personally, you know, all these different factors, what the music is, the graphics, taking everything into account. And just to kind of... how we do this typically is how we've been doing it for actually the last couple episodes is kind of pointing to a place on the list where we think it would go, and then we move up or down from there.
Okay.
So.
All right. I think I have.
Where do you think is a good starting point,
Tim? Right in between Star Fox and Hotline. Put it at the 14th spot.
No effing way.
What do you think? You think it should be higher or lower?
Lower.
Lower?
Lower, yeah.
Well, I mean.
I don't know. I'm not going to influence you. You go.
So I personally, where I think it goes, where I think we can start with it is probably around Paperboy, because it's a very similar game to Paperboy. Came out kind of around the same time. I would say this about Paperboy. There's a couple things. So the arcade game of Paperboy, I don't like as much as I like the arcade game of Tapper. However, I like the Nintendo game, Paperboy, better than I like Tapper.
Yeah, I hated the handlebars that you had to use in the cabinet.
Not fun.
It was awful.
But I will say this about Paperboy, too, is that it is fairly, I would say, higher regarded than Tapper, or more fondly remembered than Tapper. Mm-hmm. Because not a lot of people know about Tapper.
That's true.
So I think it goes somewhere around there, and I could be talked into. Because I just, if you look at this list, right, there's a couple things here. So like, when you go up from there, either the games are like complete games that are very well known and influential, and people like have a very they're just complete games, and they're more solid experiences which take many hours to complete generally from this list, and then there's stuff underneath that that's like, you know, these are interesting games, these are cool experiences. If you look at what's above Paperboy, pro wrestling was the first game in a series of games that came out around wrestling, and it was one of the first that was really good. So that's why that's kind of higher than Paperboy. And that it actually, it was the basis for the Fire Pro Wrestling series, which is still ongoing today.
Mm-hmm.
And then Pokemon Snap is a Pokemon game about photographs. Right. People highly remember that
one. I fucking hated that game.
I actually liked it. But it's his own. It's a rail shooter.
I like it. I would probably put Tapper above Pokemon Snap, maybe below Pilot Wings, maybe above Pilot Wings, because I feel like it's as simple as Pokemon Snap, but more fun than Pokemon Snap overall.
Oh, absolutely.
And also, that's at a time when you are going directly to bar rooms. So you've got a product you're trying to get to a very narrow market, and the success that it had, because it got ported to literally everything. It was in every Commodore system. It was in everything, in television and everything. It was very, very successful. And I don't think you can really downplay just how like big it actually grew, seeing as where it kind of came from as like a niche bar market. So I feel like it, and as far as having like a simple game with intermediate mini games just to kind of keep it interesting and fresh, I feel like it's up there, maybe above Pilot Wings, but below Ninja Gaiden.
I think it's ahead of Pilot Wings.
It's one of those games
though. If you're out and you're like at like, you know, some kind of bar, arcade, whatever, if you see that game, you're gonna go to it. And there are certain things
Pilot Wings is a way more complete experience than Tapper
in a way. But also,
I think the influence of what Pilot Wings was trying to do, it spawned a 4 or 5 different sequels. It was played by a lot more people. Mm-hmm. The challenges were
by a lot more people.
I definitely think it was played by a lot
more
people,
because it was huge for Super Nintendo.
I think
64.
Pokemon
64.
Snap was played by a lot more people, and I think it's also a more but complete
that's
experience.
That's the original Pirate.
Then
Pilot
Tapper?
Wings, right? Not Pilot Wings, the
64?
It's Pilot Wings 64.
No, that's Pilot Wings.
Yeah, that's the original Pilot Wings. Yeah.
No, wasn't there a Pilot Wings for NES?
No.
Yeah. No.
SNES.
Yeah.
Super Nintendo.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, yeah.
So Super Nintendo, N64, they made one for the 3DS.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't know what that's
Pilot Wings Resort.
I still think it should be above Pokemon Snap at the very least.
I would definitely put it above Pokemon Snap. I would personally put it above Pilot Wings, but I could see it falling at 20.
Mm-hmm. You guys.
Hey, man, it's your list.
It's just the I would say, it is a better game. I think it's got a more addictive loop than Pokemon Snap.
Yeah.
It puts its hooks into you.
Mm-hmm.
And Pokemon Snap is not that complete of a game, to be real here.
It's not.
But I would say
it's an idea.
It's just so much more fondly, people love that game, Pokemon Snap.
Sure, within our age range, but if you talk to people from, you know, who are hanging out in bars in the early 80s.
It's another thing, I think with Tapper, people that don't play video games can get, will get into that and enjoy playing it.
It's almost like a Tetris in a way where it's one of those games that if you don't like video games, you'll like this game.
Right.
It's a fun game.
All right. All right. I don't want to put it above Pilotwings because I think that game is...
That's fair.
This game is important.
That's fair.
But we can take that 20 spot.
We can put it at 20. We can put it at above Pokemon Snap and below Pilotwings.
I like it.
That makes sense. Right.
It's agreed.
Negotiating.
There we go.
We negotiate here.
When are you going to get so Cuphead bad. Down a little bit more?
So, yeah, the we made a Cuphead rule, Joe, after we did Cuphead.
Yeah.
Which is... You can't really judge a game that just came out on its influence or how well it's going to hold up. So fair. The only rule we have on this list is that the games have to be older than 5 years.
Okay. This one's much
That better. Was the That's the Cuphead rule?
That's the Cuphead rule.
What did you guys think of Cuphead, by the way?
Really liked it.
Yeah, me too.
Loved it. I thought it was great. It's a beautiful game.
I didn't get far in it.
It's hard, but the difficulty is really rewarding. Yeah. And it's not too hard. You just have to really...
You have to just grind it out. Yeah. That's a game you have to keep playing over and over again. And I appreciate the fact with that game is that it's so quick to get you back in.
Yep.
That is what I'm looking for.
Yep. They're not making you go through scenes.
No, and there's no loading or anything like that.
Yep.
And I love some of the boss fights, like the cigar at the end.
So, yeah.
That was really good.
All of those Dice Head ones.
Yeah, the Dice guy.
We're good.
What's his name? Mr. Dice?
Mr. Dice, I think, yeah.
Maybe, I don't remember.
Dice Head, Mr. Dice, something like that.
I don't know. But all the bosses are, most of the bosses are really good.
And originally the game was just all bosses. They added those, like, jump and shoots.
Those jump and shoot stages suck.
Yeah, they're not good.
It's just want to do boss fights.
I feel like it wouldn't have lost anything if they didn't have those, but
cool. So we're adding this game Tapper for the arcade machines from 1983 onto our list at number 20, ahead of Pokemon Snap, but below Pilotwings. And now we have our 26th game.
Whoop, whoop. All right.
And thank you guys so much for joining us on this podcast.
It was a pleasure.
This is fantastic. We should do this more often.
Definitely.
Joe, I want to get you back somehow and maybe get you on Skype so we can talk about Dark Souls when we both somehow trudge our way through that
game.
We're
going to have to just get into it together and do it.
Excellent game.
Yeah.
It's an excellent game. It's just really hard.
It is very hard.
We'll have to do that. And Tim, you son of a bitch, have to beat Uncharted.
I know. Well, no, I just got to play it again. Yes. I need a refresh.
Yes.
I will. Someday.
We're going to do that. But thank you guys so much. This is the podcast. You can find us on Twitter at It's So Bad Pod. Gmail, It's So Bad Pod at gmail.com. And it's So Bad, ITSSOBADPOD on Twitter. Subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, etc. And thank you so much, Doz Cicchini Jr., for our music. And we'll be back with another episode shortly. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Your cat wants to be in here so bad.